Rod Piazza, Honey Alexander. They were the Mighty Flyers, and you know what? They still are. I was just double-checking to make sure I wasn't not up to date with their current operating title. Rod Piazza and the Mighty Flyers, off their brand new release on the Blind Pig label, Emergency Situation. And you heard Bad Weather Blues and Gambling Woman here on Shakin' Dave's Hall Pass program. It only happens once a month, and it happens to be tonight. And it's our extremely great pleasure and very prideful, too. We'll pat ourselves collectively on the back and thank Brian Keith Wallen for coming over here from, where is that little town again, man? I mean that big metropolis?
It would be the metropolis of Milton, Indiana.
Sounds good to me. Maybe we just played a cut by Little Milton. Maybe.
Oh, there you go.
It's got to be at a. I mean, there was Kokomo Arnold. There was. Help me out here, brother.
Oh yeah, great blues heritage in Indiana.
Well, there is. You know, that flatland breeds and probably bleeds some sort of level of contempt, consternation, or one of those C words. I'm not sure which one.
That's about right.
Anyway, we're pleased and proud to have Brian. BKW, Brian Keith Wallen here from across the state line, and we're going to take advantage of him and indulge ourselves at the same time. And you have the inconspicuous situation of being our first out-of-state performer here on the Hall Pass program, Brian, and I will thank you in advance for taking off on this Blue Monday Blues to come over here and help round out this performance space we got, man. We're looking forward to it. We're going to just let you cut loose, and I'll inundate you with questions in a bit, man.
All right. Well, first of all, I just want to say what an honor it is to be here. I really appreciate you having me out. And, you know, you're obviously a beloved broadcaster in this area, and I've had so many people tell me in the past few days that they were excited to hear this tonight. So just thanks so much for having me in here. It's really an honor.
Oh.
And
you're welcome, and I hope you feel the same way in another 20 or 30 minutes.
I'm sure I will.
Anyway, we're looking forward to it, man. And without further ado, let's thank you for the compliments. I'll try to live up to the hype. I will. Brian Keith Wallen. Thanks, man.
Gonna bring me down. Yeah. When the lightning hits the street, you know the devil's on the loose. When the lightning hits the street, you know the devil's on the loose. Well, this chain's out so cold and heavy, but there's nothing. Thank you. gonna come around. Lord knows, yeah, there ain't no doubt. Well, them dark shadows gonna bring me down. Lord knows, yeah, there ain't no doubt. Well, them dark shadows gonna bring me down.
Was an original song called Trouble. I wrote that inspired by kind of all those old Delta Blues songs you hear about mojo and voodoo and all that stuff. I've written a couple songs along those lines, and so I thought I'd share that one to start off with.
Certainly there's a never-ending plethora of emotions, feelings, colors, if you want to call writing about the blues. If it has to be colored, we'll make it indigo, huh?
There you go.
It's I was just letting my mind run for a second, and you have such musical maturity, man, at such an advanced age. And we'll get into that, but Brian Keith, we're going to take advantage of you, man. With this in general, are you leaning more towards, as you establish your quote-unquote credibility, do you find yourself wanting to play things for people you think they might know, or is it a better route for you personally to maybe go for all four kings or four aces and just go for the original thing and hope they pick up on it? It's a tough decision.
It's very tough, and I've kind of been on both sides of it at different times. Right now, I try to kind of play things I think people would be familiar with and would enjoy, but also mix in a few of my own originals just to get them interested. And hopefully, you know, the idea is to get them to take home a CD and listen to it. So I've often found that I can play more traditional blues stuff or play covers that they're familiar with. And if they take one of my records home, then next time they see me, they'll come back and say, "Hey, that one song you wrote on that record, could you play that?"
Yeah, that's great, man. That's direct marketing, and if you find that one note, that one just two-note groove, whatever it took to make an impression on that listener, he's now a supporter of the full-tilt variety, right?
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Finding the magic note, man, hitting the note. And speaking of that, don't let me hold you back.
All right. Well, I love the Delta Blues. You know, you've talked about it tonight, Dave. That's kind of my thing. Always been really into it, and I feel like if we're talking about Delta Blues, we got to talk about Sun House.
We can start there. We can finish there. If that's all you want to play, that's fine with me, man. But what an artist.
For sure. And he did a lot of really cool things. He was a great guitar player, and he also did some a cappella stuff with just his vocals and hand claps that was very influential to me. And I remember watching this documentary called It Might Get Loud, and Jack White was on there.
Oh, wow.
He had this old record of Sun House. It was just Sun House, his vocals, and nothing else. And it's this old tune called Grinning in Your Face.
I'm very familiar with it, man. It's so deep.
It is.
It's so intense. It's sort of like water. Whatever mode you need, it fills that mode.
I totally agree, and that's why I'm going to play it right now, because it's definitely been there for me a lot of times.
Go for it, man.
Well, don't you mind people grinning in your face? Well, don't you mind people grinning in your face? Oh, Lord, yes, and bear this in mind. A good friend is hard to find. Don't you mind people grinning in your face? You know your mother will talk about you, your sisters and your brothers too. But it don't matter how you're trying to live, oh, they'll talk talk about you still. So you got so bad, it's in mind. A good friend is hard to find. Don't you mind people grinning in your face? Oh, Lord, don't you mind people grinning in your face? That people will tear you down. Well, they'll spin you round and round. And it don't matter how you're trying to live, they're gonna talk about you still. So you best bear this in mind. A good friend is hard to find. Don't you mind people grinning in your face? Oh, Lord, don't you mind people grinning in your face? Oh, Lord, don't you mind people grinning in your face?
And I'm standing here listening to you, and I was wondering maybe at what point in his life did he conjure up that tune, because it's so desperate and so all-encompassing, you know?
Very personal. You can tell. I mean, it's such a source of pain for him at some point.
Amen. And I wonder, where do you go for inspiration like that when you really start to question what you're capable or incapable of? But longevity definitely has its place, man. And that was a beautiful, beautiful rendition of that. It's nice to hear somebody really tap into an aspect of his playing other than Death Letter Blues, and that was a wonderful, you know, universal appeal that'll, well, until people like you come along and give illumination to some of his other work.
Yeah, there's so much to draw from, really. I mean, it's amazing, the depth of it, from, you know, even covers he did where he took old hymns and made them into these blues gospel things and his own stuff, too. It's just all great.
What a magic was involved in being able to get a message like that out to the masses in 1938, 1940. Had to be an art to that by itself.
For sure.
Rolling the dice very in a very loaded fashion each time. Brian Keith Wallen from the Hoosier State over here to share some blues licks from the Flatland.
Yes.
And nothing to impede that message, man. It's going to have a straight shot right at your consciousness. Am I too heavy?
Not at all.
I'm really enjoying this, man. I hope that we can convey that. You sound great. And, Brian, between you and me and the half million people that are listening tonight, be careful with those influences, man. You're a youngster, and don't go too deep on us too fast. Brian, yes, sir.
All right, well, I'll go ahead and play another original for you. This is one that is kind of informed by those influences we've been talking about. A lot of my originals are. This is one I wrote last year for a record, and I got this idea to kind of take different guitars that I just had sort of laying around the house. You know how it is when you're a guitar player.
Especially at 3 or 4 in the morning.
Exactly.
And if things are really right, about the time the sun comes up, you've got it all figured out for a minute.
Mm-hmm. So I would just grab a different guitar and just let it speak to me.
Amen.
I feel like different songs live inside different guitars. And I got this archtop guitar made out of plywood, and I picked it up, and this just kind of came out of it. So I wrote this one. It's called Devil Blues.
Looking forward to it.
¶¶
rise and come and say amen. Evil coming up round the bend, and I see lightning flashing in the sky, and I'm feeling like it's my time to die. And gotta keep on moving, cause that devil's coming up behind. Must be living in a troubled town, cause I've seen nothing but hell around, and wicked wind blowing out from the south. I got spirits lurking up inside my house. Gotta keep on moving, cause that devil's coming up behind. Hey. Taken, cause better men than you have been forsaken, and you gotta keep on moving, cause that devil's coming out behind.
Brian Keith, live and in living color here for us all to imbibe upon. And this is your first time across the state line to, well, actually, you're the very first quote-unquote foreign performer that we've had on the Hall Pass program. Brian, it's where it should be. I'm speechless. And that's tough for me from time to time, but I'm having so many what I think are worthwhile thoughts, but then when I start to verbalize them, I'm thinking, now just be quiet. But you know, you're a young man, and your influences are already so deep, and I'm sure that you're being confronted with so many things that are probably a contradiction to you. You know, how far can I go with this before I feel like I'm quote unquote selling out, or
yeah, for sure,
not paying the right attention to this aspect of the music to carry it on historically. You know, I mean, our listeners, they can deal with that. They're adept. They have depth as well, you know. And we want to take them down there and let them not wallow, but, I mean, wallin'. Let them wallin' in their own emotions and feels, man. And you're illuminating them. You're accenting all the nuances. And I have a lot of respect for you, which
well,
is
I really appreciate that.
Well,
means
man.
A lot.
You know, I don't like to say you know, but anyway, I'm glad that you're here, and we're going to take advantage of you as much as we can.
Well,
and,
thanks.
And if you want to pay tribute to a school like the Hill Country School or the Lower Delta, I mean, there are so many nuances and all that stuff.
That's for sure.
And, you know, you can spend this whole lifetime just illuminating each aspect of it, man. So you're on a number. I think I said this to someone yesterday, and even after saying it once or twice, it still makes sense to me. You're on a number of right tracks.
Well, I certainly hope that that's the case. You know, for me, I started out initially because of where I'm from in Indiana. There's a really big bluegrass culture, and I found all these bluegrass guys that were willing to welcome a kid you know, with a guitar about as big as him and when I was 10 years old. But then I discovered, you know, this world of blues through some of the bluegrass influences, actually.
I understand absolutely, completely. I understand.
It was Doc Watson that did it for me initially. I mean, here's a guy, you talk about being on a number of right tracks. Doc Watson is one of the only people I can think of that was a virtuoso flat pick guitar player, but could also play finger style blues as good as anybody I've ever heard.
Well, you're preaching to the converted. I'm in complete agreement with you, and Doc and Merle and his whole lineage. He broke down so many walls.
He did,
and continues to, really.
That's kind of what I was thinking about just as you were talking there. You're talking about, well, how do you figure out, you know, how to respect the heritage and carry it forward, and, you know, at the same time get the music out there. And I think Doc Watson is a great example of that, because in a way he bridged two or three different worlds with what he did with, you know, the folk tradition, bluegrass, and blues. And, you know, if it hadn't been for Doc Watson, I'm not sure exactly what kind of musician I would be, because he was the guy that I heard as a kid, you know, that basically he kind of said through his music, it's okay to play bluegrass and blues. You don't have to just stick to bluegrass, because there's definitely a culture within that kind of music. Okay, bluegrass is the only music in the world. We're not going to listen to anything else. And his, you know, the way he blended styles and brought the blues into that, man, it was just a revelation for me.
Well, I think that, you know, people that really get locked into the root form of whatever music they really respect and admire, it's very easy to just sort of lock out all the other aspects that make that music appealing to you. And
yeah,
it sounds to me like, once again, you've got a handle on incorporating, with respect, Doc and Merle's licks. Maybe you play them, your articulation is a little bit different, but if I may be so humbly overstepping my bounds, it's a way of you being able to bring those people on board and hopefully convert them into being able to listen to something that they had turned off before.
Yeah, hopefully so.
I know you've got two followers right here. Four ears, two followers. And at the risk of talking too much, which I've already done, but listeners, you've just got to put up with us. This is our chance to shine. And we've got Brian Keith Wallen in here from not necessarily the hill country of Indiana, but the beautiful flatlands over there, where you can put out a note and it's going to run unabated until it hits a wall somewhere. What's next?
Well, you know, we've been talking about Doc Watson for a few minutes here, so I feel like I should do one of his old blues tunes. And this is actually one I did yesterday, and for those that are listening, when we're talking about yesterday, we're talking about the Dayton Blues Challenge. I want to give a shout-out to the Dayton Blues Society for, you know, encouraging the growth and development of blues in this community. I've met a lot of really cool people through them, such as yourself, Dave. So that's a very cool thing. And this is one of the tunes I played for that event yesterday. It's actually, I heard it by Doc Watson, but it was written by Frank Hutchison, a West Virginia blues artist and kind of one of the first recorded examples of the Piedmont blues style. And unfortunately, he kind of ran into hard times and fell out of the limelight and had his own struggles with addiction and ended up moving to Columbus to work on a riverboat and then passing away in Dayton in a hospital in the 1940s. And I heard this song on Doc's record and looked in the liner notes and it said traditional. Mm. I was like, there's somebody that wrote it. So yeah. I had to do some digging to find that out. But to me, it just added to the song when you think
the
about
mystique,
it.
The mystique, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's great. And if I may, we're going to send this one out to Tom Duffy because he understands all of this absolutely to the ninth degree.
Awesome. This one's going out to you, Tom. And this is called The Worried Blues. Got the worried blues and I got no heart to cry. Got the worried blues and I got no heart to cry. If these blues don't kill me, Lord, I'll never die. Had a dream last night when I rolled back in my bed. Lord, a dream last night when I rolled back in my bed. Had a dream last night that the woman I loved was dead. Up this morning, had a freight train on my mind. I woke up this morning, had a freight train on my mind. Gonna leave this town, leave these worried blues behind. Going down to the station, gonna take my rocking chair. Going down to the station, gonna take my rocking chair. I'll just sit right down and rock on away from here. Yeah. Tell you that the worried blues ain't bad. Some people tell you that the worried blues ain't bad. Well, it must not have been them old worried blues they had. Well, I got the blues so bad that I can't sleep no reason. I got the blues so bad that I can't sleep no reason. I just walk around like a policeman on his beat. Play one more time. Got no heart to cry. Got the worried blues and I got no heart to cry. If these blues don't kill me, Lord, I'll never die.
Well, Brian Whalen's version of Doc Watson's tune right here on Shakin' Dave's Hall Pass program. Presentation number 6 of what we hope to be the embryonic stages of something that's going to become a tradition here at WISO, and hopefully where you are as well. Brian, that was beyond articulate. I think you, every time you play that song, I would hope that you're going to find one or two more listeners coming across.
I hope so, too.
You know, each time you play it, the fence that divides whatever still is between us, it's going to be broken down just a little bit more. And I can't help but wonder. I'm going to tell people that you're 22 years old. Is that all right?
That's fine.
It's a little late now if it's not, but I'm not blowing smoke, but you have such a depth of feeling for this music already. What are you going to do in 5 years? How are you going to expound on this? And expand?
Well, that's a good question. I think that the growth will just come from, hopefully, my experiences traveling and being on the road and meeting, you know, more musicians, more historians, more people that have their own stories to share about music and how it's impacted them. It seems like just about everywhere I go, somebody comes up to me and says, "Hey, you got to check this guy out," and gives me a name of an artist. And so I think some growth definitely comes from that. Hopefully I can just keep expanding my influences and working as hard as I can at improving.
Yeah, but at the same time, Brian, when you're absorbing all these tunes that people turn you on to, at the same time, you're contributing your own voice as well.
Yes.
You're interpreting, please excuse me, but you're interpreting someone else's voice, applying your own, and if you don't make it your own tune, you've given it your own vibration, and you've won 1, 2, or 1,000 more folks to your side of the correct side of the fence. Or
I agree with that.
For what you're trying to do, and I wish you all the success in the world, and I want to take it much as much advantage of you as I can here tonight. But we don't want to wear out our welcome. Could we talk you into one more, and then we'll take a short break and get you back up here?
Oh, absolutely.
I have so many questions I want to ask of you. You know, I want to be aware that you're probably costing Why So It's listenership, Dave, by going down this road. But but my reason for this is, you know, you're not from right here in the 10-minute radius, and people might say, wow, this is an intriguing character. We got to hear more about him. So I feel like it's my spoken and or unspoken duty to question you, find out where you're coming from, where you are, where you're going.
Yeah.
Play us a tune, man, and I'll let you off the hook for just a couple minutes.
All right.
As long as you want.
Well, this is another original. Comes from a record I put out back in 2012 called Truth Is. And this is a tune I actually wrote on stage, which is pretty unusual. It's the only song I've ever written that way. I was playing in Richmond, Indiana at the Jeanette Mansion.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And Jeanette Records was a label that you know, was around. This is a tune called First Class. Send it out first class. I'm gonna write me a letter. I'm gonna send it out first class. I'm gonna send it to my baby. Said I ain't never coming back. I'm going down to the station to buy me a ticket on that West Coast line. Well, I'm going down to the station to buy me a ticket on that West Coast line. Well, I'm leaving Chicago. Gotta hope them people out west will treat me right. I was feeling pretty high just about the time we hit Spokane. I was feeling pretty high just about the time we hit Spokane. Well, I may not know how to try, but I'll do everything that I can. I don't feel bad for leaving, cause I know that I had to make a change. Well, I don't feel bad for leaving, cause I know that I had to make a change. But of all the things that I intended, well, I'm never meant to cause her any pain. Yeah.
it out first class. I'm gonna send it to my baby. Said I ain't never coming back.
Brian Keith Wallen coming to you live and in living color from the beautifully, in most respects, brand new studios, WYSO in Yellow Springs, Ohio. Brian, thank you so much for set number one. We'll get to the next three or four sets. I'm just chiding you a little bit, but I'm going to take advantage of you as much as I can because we're really on a very good topic, and I think the universality of, is that a word? Universality of music and what it's capable of doing without being overwhelming. It's so subtle. You know, your message is subtle. It's loaded with impact, but perhaps it might not really upset the listener in a positive way till they're all alone and thinking back. And with that in mind, we're going to play a John Lee Hooker cut and get to the top of the next hour, and then we're going to hear some more from Brian Keith Wallen on WYSO on a Monday night, the last Monday of this month. It's the Hall Pass program. And we were just talking about being just a little bit out of tune. Controlled Desafinado from Les Paul and his trio, recorded on the laser light. Well, who knows? It's probably recorded for Capitol Records way back when, but we have it on Laser Light Digital Remastering, and we're trying to put some pressure on Brian Keith Wallen. Got to follow in Les Paul's footsteps. Glad to have you back for set number two, this presentation of the Hall Pass program. And Brian, this has been a magical night, and we've got another whole 30 minutes to take advantage of you, man.
Oh, yeah, it's been great. I really enjoyed it.
Well, don't put it in past tense yet, because you might have a terrible time here in the last 30 minutes, especially when we ask you to get out your locking vibrato, but maybe you won't have time for that. I certainly need to qualify that statement. No locking vibratos here, but I do want to point out that Brian BKW is equally, in my overview, it seems he is equally relaxed playing electric or acoustic. So, Brian, you've got a lot of tools to work with, man, and you're going on a big trip tomorrow. We wish you a safe journey, and
thanks.
We'll try and fix you up with a few CDs to at least get you through, at least get you out of Ohio.
Yeah.
So we've got about 30 minutes here in this last quote-unquote set of time for you to utilize, break up any way you wish. At some point, I feel like we owe it to our listenership to maybe qualify or elucidate our little comment about the Gwinnett. Am I pronouncing that right? The Gwinnett or Gwinnett?
It would be Jeanette.
Jeanette. Well, I wasn't even close. Well, that figures. It was a piano manufacturer that was barely about 30 miles away from Dayton, Ohio. And
yes.
I don't think that the distance is any further or closer, but it was on a very important rail line back then, correct?
That is correct.
And as a result, the biggest names of one particular genre that we are very attracted to, the Indigo and Coloration, did a lot of recording there, right?
Yes, they did. Guys like Charlie Patton and Blind Lemon Jefferson, Big Bill Brunzi, and then from the jazz world, Louis Armstrong and Hoagie Carmichael, all those guys recorded at Jeanette, and it was kind of a bold thing to do, as segregated as this part of the country was at the time. It's an unfortunate part of Indiana history that it was a real stronghold for the KKK.
Right.
But the guy that, you know, Henry Jeanette, that started Star Jeanette, he was a real supporter of this kind of music. So he would bring these guys in on the train, which, as I said, was a very bold thing to do at the time. But he loved what they did so much in their music and was so supportive of their careers that he took that risk. And I'm so glad that he did, because we got a lot of great music out of it.
We're all wealthier for it, right? And overhearing your conversation, you talked about his mansion that he had over there that was utilized for just bringing people in so they'd have a place to stay.
I'm not sure if they stayed there or not, but I was introduced to the Jeanette Mansion because a couple friends of mine, give a shout out to them, Bob and Donna Geddes, moved to this area from Baltimore, and they purchased the Jeanette Mansion. It kind of fallen into a state of disrepair over the years. Had been different things, office, you know, space, apartments, and they've done a really cool thing by taking it and returning it to a music venue and event space, and they've had a lot of blues music at that place since they took it over. So I think it's a great way to kind of further the history and heritage and legacy of Jeanette.
The stellar side of it. And perhaps somebody might be listening tonight that's hearing your voice and knowing a little bit about you, and then hearing the story about Jeanette, and maybe they'll step up to the plate. Maybe you're responsible for something positive in a monetary sense that you don't even know about.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, there's a couple things, the Jeanette Mansion, and there's also the Star Jeanette Foundation. And I know that they would really appreciate people getting involved, and I think it's important because a lot of people, you know, Richmond has 35,000 people, and I feel like there's probably a pretty good number that don't know about this history, and we need to change that for sure because it's a treasure. It's a hidden gem.
Absolutely. Speaking of hidden gems, what do you got up your, well, I can't say up your sleeve because you don't have any sleeves, but what about in your vest pocket? What have you got in line for us, brother?
Well, I've got a song from that Jeanette Records era. I mentioned Charlie Patton, and he recorded at Jeanette, and this is one of his tunes that has become ubiquitous over the years, recorded by many people. So I'd like to share this. It's a tune called Sitting on Top of the World.
Think we can do that.
Was in the spring, one sunny day, my sweetheart left me. Oh, she went away. Well, now she's gone, gone, gone. But I don't worry, Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world. She called me up from down in El Paso. She said, come back, Daddy. Oh, I need your soul, yeah. Now she's gone, gone, gone. But I don't worry, Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world. Other side, but now she is gone, gone, gone. But I don't worry, Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world. But don't you come here running, just holding out your hand. I'm gonna find me a woman like you found your man. Well, now she is gone, gone, gone. But I don't worry, Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world. Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world.
Sounding good, my man.
Thank you.
Gosh, I hate for there to be even a split second of dead air, but, you know, I have so many will you commit to coming back?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Because there's a whole lot of things I want to talk to you about. At the ripe old age of 22, you're a very seasoned performer. You've played a lot of licks. Obviously, you've played a lot of great licks, and you, I'm sure, made mistakes and said to yourself, "Well, I don't want to do that anymore."
Oh yeah, plenty of those.
That's the school that I come from. I think it used to be called the Rote School. I'm not so sure anymore what they call it. Probably something we can't say on the air, but. It's interesting to hear the depth of somebody so young that has eliminated X number of aspects of some portion of music, you know? How do you do that?
Well, I got to give credit to my parents. I was homeschooled, and shout out to homeschooling.
I hope this
will be proof. There's a kind of a stereotype that goes along with homeschoolers that we're these awkward introverted kids that just sit around at home and don't know how to interact with people or get out in the public, and that's really not the case. But unfortunately, that's become kind of a stereotype or perception.
Right.
But so my parents always raised me, first of all, around great music. They have wonderful taste in music. Second of all, they always taught me to always question, always try to get to the bottom of things, always learn history, always find out what the story is with everything in life, everything from music, you know, to events that happened in Indiana. It was something they really focused on when I was growing up, and they gave me the foundation that I needed, you know, to pursue this. And it's, you know, all to them. It's completely 100% the way they raised me that enabled me to, you know, take this path.
They planted the seed.
They did.
Well, just wanting to know, planted the seed of curiosity, and
that is the perfect way to put it.
Well, then I'll shut up. I'll say no more. It's time to go to the news. No. Well, thank you, man. That's a compliment, and I don't know what to say after that. And they planted some. What sort of music did they listen to? I need to find out.
Well, they listened to a lot of. I guess you could say Southern rock and blues rock. I remember very distinctly when I was about 5 or 6 years old, them getting a CD player, because that was kind of the time period when we were transitioning from cassettes to CDs. And one of the very first CDs they bought was the Allman Brothers Band. And the first song on that record was Statesboro Blues. And just hearing that opening guitar riff, I mean, it just shot right through me. It made an impression that stuck with me for a long time after that.
Well, and since you mentioned that, that opens the door to a question that I had brewing in the back of my mind all week long. But I know that you're really beyond just being enthused by slide guitar. But a lot of people don't take that Statesboro Blues thing past the Allman Brothers and Ry Cooter and Jesse Ed Davis, and I think that's a prime example of how one thing leads to another, because Ry Cooter was responsible for, and this is a generality, folks, please don't nail me to the wall on this, but Ry Cooter was certainly a really important influence on Duane Allman's interest in slide guitar. So
yes.
There you go. We're back to Ry Cooter, who's an ethnomusicologist of the first degree, and it's a good example of how one thing leads to another.
Absolutely.
Now that I've painted you into a corner, I'm not going to ask you to play Statesboro Blues by yourself, but let's put that on ice for the next go-around.
Yeah.
What have you got in store for us now, my man?
Well, I tell you what, I think along these lines, you know, Allman Brothers was a little bit more of a, like I said, sort of a southern blues rock. And you know, as much as I love Delta blues and acoustic blues, I'm obviously passionate about electric guitar as well.
And have to be.
This is a tune that I wrote that I think was kind of inspired and influenced by, you know, Allman Brothers and other artists along those lines. And from a record called Every Mile, this is a tune called Judgment.
about it, I know that this would end up wrong. But tell me how you gonna face it when I end up gone. You think you tried, but you just gave up. How you gonna live now without love? Tell me how you gonna do it without any light. Say how you gonna face it when it comes to midnight. It's hard to do well when you're scared of the dark. So how did you get here? It's so black in your heart. Yeah. How do you make it when you're so alone? Well, I'll bet that you're crying now. You're just wishing that you could come home. Got too much pride, Aaron, it's your wrong. Thinking about giving in, living life no more. Well, you'd rather see it all in, come back to my door. Yes, that leaves me with just one thing to say. Good luck to you, love, I'll see you judgment day. Hey.
Message, and I'm standing here staring at that guitar. I have to ask you, I want to hear about the song, of course, but did that come with P90s? Well, I'm
yes.
looking at a guitar that looks like the Gibson BB King for all you listeners out there that can't see what I'm looking at. It's a guitar modeled very much like a Gibson ES-3, 35, 45, or 55, but it has a fully extended neck, and it has P90s.
Yes.
Now, is that something indigenous just to the Ibanez brand, or is that an alteration you made?
It is completely stock from the factory. This
really?
Is a new model they just came out with very recently. And, I found it in a little music shop in Indianapolis, and I just fell in love with it. I love P90s. They're
I
my
do
favorite
too.
Pickup.
I do, too. And I thought maybe you'd taken it upon yourself to make something that should have been made at the factory, made by Brian K. Wallen.
Well, that would have been cool if I'd been that smart, but no, just picked it up the way it is.
It'll happen, man. Is that a hollow body, or does that have the solid block down the middle so you could put a stop tailpiece on it if you wished?
Well, it's interesting because it has the block running down the center, but it's not completely solid. It's like, if I can express this, it's kind of like a half block. There's a block that runs along the top and then posts on each side of it, but then it's hollowed out at the bottom.
Wow, so it's sort of a combination of semi-hollow and semi-solid.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
It's a contradiction of terms, but guitarists, you can envision what Brian and I are talking about. And it's a great sound. It's a very full sound.
Yeah, that's what drew me to it. Obviously, playing solo, I need to fill out on the low end as much as I can.
Well, you're in there by yourself, and it sounds very full, and it's illuminated correctly, and I'm spending way too much time talking to you. Let's hear you play that thing.
All right.
Thank you.
Muddy Waters song. Something that you ain't never had. Had a sweet little home. It got burnt down. Now tell me, ain't that bad? Had a sweet little home. It got burnt down. Tell me, ain't that bad? But you can't spend what you ain't got. And you can't lose something that you ain't never had. Got busted. Oh, that's bad. Yeah. Well, I missed some money in the bank. I got busted, boys. That's bad. Oh, let me tell you, you can't spend what you ain't got, and you can't lose something that you ain't never had. One more time. Oh, I said you can't spend what you ain't got, and you can't lose something. Said you can't lose something. You can't lose something that you ain't never had.
Strong stuff, brother. Strong stuff. Brian Keith Wallen, about to close out this presentation of the Hall Pass program, live and in living color from the performance studios of WYSO, with Juliet Fromholtz helping to do the mix, our mixologist, or mixologist. I'm not sure where the accent is, but it's all over the spot and it's in the right place. Most importantly, very quickly, not that quickly, best way to stay in touch.
Check out my website, bkwmusic.com.
bkwmusic.com. Any uppercase, lowercase, does it matter?
Doesn't matter.
I'm from the old way, from the old school. Well, Brian, it's such a pleasure to have you in here tonight, man, and it's been magical. What model is that, Ibanez?
It's an ArtCore ASR70.
ASR70. ASR70. I'm going to be looking into that. I think they sell those down at Centerville Music. Oops, a plug. Anyway, thanks for making the trip down. And when you get back from the West Coast, if you feel so inclined, just say I'm back and we'll take care of the rest.
That would be great.
Get me back up here. Anything you want to close with for a minute or so? I've got a special, I want to leave you with something from Muddy Waters. I think that, go ahead. I'll play it for you next week when you're gone. You can hear it out west.
All right.
Leave us with a note, brother.
Close with something kind of groovy. This is a tune from my Truth Is record. I wrote this one. It's called Bad Spell.
Amen.
I'm gonna steal that sweet honey, Lord.
that she's gonna be all mine.
Brian Keith Wallen and Ivan S. Guitar with P90s from across the state line. Brian, thank you so much for showing up tonight and illuminating this presentation of Shake's Hall Pass program. We look forward to hearing more things from you, man. You're on the right tracks, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave. It's truly been an honor.
Honor is all ours. You're listening to member-supported 91.3 WISO, Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, and online at WISO.org. WISO is a community service of Antioch College for the Miami Valley and beyond. Stay tuned. Beale Street Caravan coming up in just a momento. Thanks for tuning in. We'll leave you with a few seconds of this. This is for you, Brian.